All right, let's get started. Welcome to the August meeting of the Board of Directors of Deer Springs Ranch. We had an executive session, and John started us out with prayer. So we'll start out here with roll call and identify everybody that's here, just so we have it on the meeting minutes. We don't have anybody on the phone today that we need to worry about, but we are recording. So as you speak clearly and speak up so we don't have to guess later what it was that was said. Hopefully today's meeting will go pretty smoothly, and maybe we'll get out a little early today. Knock on wood or plastic. All right, let's start with you guys back there. If you won't mind, tell us who you are and what lot you're associated with so Mariah can get it in the notes.
Michael and Tracy Jordison, lot 67.
Okay.
Mary Wilson, 20.
Okay.
Cindy Olson, lot 17.
Great. And you two in the middle table?
Tandy Bose, 107.
Dale Clarkson, 164.
All right, it looks like all the board members are present, minus Larry. Welcome, everybody. We hope that you'll participate as subjects come up that are near and dear to your hearts today. Let's turn the time over to Kathy for the approval of the meeting minutes.
Did the board members get a chance to review them?
I did.
Yes.
I did. I just have one clarification on the podunk cows. We should clarify that those are black trespass cows in podunk.
Yeah, that was clear in the meeting. I didn't pay that close attention to the meeting minutes, but we can certainly make that notation.
Yeah, let's just write it in there, and then we can find the official.
That was me.
Without board.
Mm-hmm. Baldy.
Who does your hair?
You wear a hat all the time. We never saw how bald you were.
I'm a fine barber. Me.
Lobie.
Me.
I think there's a wife.
I'm bringing off cattle if you want
to. She has to watch after out. Me.
Any other changes to the meeting minutes from last meeting? Appreciate Mariah putting those together and Kathy working on reviewing those.
You want me to sign it? Or
yeah,
you
I'm going to sign it.
I'll look for a motion to accept the meeting minutes.
I motion to accept the meeting minutes.
Is there a second?
A second.
Kurt seconds. Any opposed, say aye. Unanimously accepted. Joe Bose, we'll turn the time over to you for your finance report.
Well, unfortunately, I've been up here since Wednesday, and I've had no internet, so I'm going to have to depend on Mariah to give me the dollar figures. I'm in the dark here.
I'm not helpful either. I've been working on the election mailing, and that's a huge process. But hold on, one second.
As far as I know, we're in good shape. Nothing extra popped up.
Yeah, I would be. I don't know of. Does anybody know of any expenditures of any significance at all? Even, I mean, I don't. I think we've been trying to save money and.
I made two or three dump runs.
Yeah, I think we spent some money, a little bit of money on roads to work on the road over in Podunk a little bit. Other than that, I don't know of any expenditures, at least that I'm aware of.
We still at about 95% collection, or is we going?
Yeah, actually, I received a couple more.
Did
so
you?
We're
okay, so we're even better yet.
So we're over higher than 95. My budget has been frozen since we talked about it, and I haven't spent a dollar in agriculture.
Well, it's time that we start, as we go into fall, start looking at what we need to get done rather than saving money. I mean, okay, any questions on the budget from the membership?
Can I make a comment, though?
Absolutely.
On budgets, I would still recommend the board consider not spending a good portion of your budgets. We're still trying to keep what we're getting this year to set our budgets for next year. So I wouldn't advise finding your budget and then spending it out by the end of the year. That's that much less money we have for next year. So still prioritize projects, please.
Well, I think we need to look and determine what's, because, for example, and this is just an example, on agriculture we've put off brush hogging and poisoning and that kind of stuff to the point where our members are starting to ask, wait, you talked about it for 3 years and it hasn't been done. So some of those things, I agree, we don't spend money unnecessarily, but we need to get some of these things done. I think we're behind schedule on road stuff. John?
So have we discussed as a board then on a meeting that I missed that that that's our financial plan. Is that we want to be savings a year ahead, and we're going to run the ranch out of the bank instead of off of our...
That's what we discussed the last couple meetings, is an attempt to get closer to that. We're not going to make it, but that's the effort, is trying to be able to spend money we already have rather than spend money that we're hoping to get.
I mean, other than the obvious, is there a reason for that? I mean, even with COVID this year, we've never run in the black or in the red. We've never not paid any of our bills.
True.
Are we fixing a problem that doesn't exist?
Well, we're trying to live on money that we know we already have, rather than spending money and crossing our fingers at the end of the year that we're still balanced. But so,
for the history of the ranch, though, we've always ran the way we've been running. So now we're changing that, right? And was that a topic of discussion? Was that
I think back in May.
I think we've discussed it two or three times that I know of. I mean, but that's the direction we're going. There hasn't been we haven't reset the budget to say, okay, this is as much as you can spend, because we recognize we're going to have to spend money on maintaining things and work that has to be done. So we're just trying to get closer to the point where we have money that we're spending. And right now we have money in the bank, so we're not spending money we're hoping to get.
So our goal is that we're a year ahead in our... And so we're running the ranch out of our bank account and not out of our collection.
Well, Brad, to clarify it a little bit better, if we go into, and this is what happened this last year, for example, we go in, you have a $100 budget based on 100% of forecasted revenue. So if you're forecasting bringing in $10,000 and you're at $100 is your budget, and we've only brought in $7,500, then you got to operate on an adjusted budget, which is $75 instead of $100. And this is just basic principles of running a business. And if instead of having to work on an adjusted budget, like if you have a $100 project, you can't have $100 until we've collected all the money for it. Okay, so if we're giving you a $100 budget with money we already have, then you don't have to worry about the adjusted budget of $75. You get the whole $100. It's like giving you a bank card so you can actually spend the money when you're ready to do the project. And it makes it planning easier on everybody.
I completely understand what you're saying. I'm just saying it's different than the ranch has ever been operated on.
I know.
And even if we had that, then
if we ever get
COVID
hit,
happens or whatever, then you still have to adjust your budget. That's just part of the ranch.
Well, no, because you're working off of last year's budget, and you know, if you get hit with something, you can still continue to operate without having to stop, have emergency meeting, cancel this, make all these changes. You can still keep going forward, and then next year, you'd just be more conscientious when you write your budgets on less money that you received from the year before.
I totally understand what you're saying, and I'm not sure that I disagree with that. I'm just saying I haven't heard that discussed overall, because it's a total different philosophy of running the ranch than we've ever ran the ranch on before.
Well, and you know, I thought we discussed it pretty at length, and I don't remember if it was March or May or April, somewhere last spring.
Did we vote on it?
I believe we did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll have to look at the minutes.
Yeah. The other thing, I don't know that we're ever going to get a year ahead, but typically we're including, just to give you an example, typically we're including in our budget money to spend on coming in from the cattle lease. But we don't get the cattle lease money until the end of the year. So we're trying to get ahead so we're spending money we actually have. That way, worst case scenario, if the cattle lease ever didn't pay or there was a problem there, then we're not at the end of the year going, okay, well, we're out of money and we can't pay payroll or whatever it happens to be. So, anyway, did that answer your question?
I just was making a statement.
Yeah, okay. He's saying that he doesn't recall us voting on this and making this measure an official thing that we're doing. Creating a gray area, basically.
Any other comments or questions on budget? All right. Joe, I guess you're off the hook.
Ooh.
Mariah, why don't you tell us what's going on with overall operations, reservations, and everything that you've run?
Great. Everything's going great so far. We've had a lot of cabin response. We're kind of in a lull right now, which is anticipated. Schools are starting, so families aren't coming out as much. We're not as booked right now, but that's also very helpful for our property manager to be able to focus some thoughts in some other places. We've got a healthy cabin income coming in, and we've got a healthy dose of members who are hauling water, and we've got a healthy dose of new members coming in. So overall, the ranch is growing and successful. So the most recent thing that's happening right now, which I've passed out to some of you, is the election packet. I brought some that I thought might be here today. And inside that packet that I've handed you today and that members will be receiving, I'll be putting these in the mail on Monday. They'll be receiving the newsletter. Thank you for Ford for that. Also a couple of flyers of upcoming events that are being planned, including the annual meeting. But Kirk has a great event planned for Labor Day weekend. So we've let the members that are coming out to the cabins and tried to advertise the cabins as being available, those that are, so people will come out and use the cabins. And this will be a great new opportunity to encourage more member enjoyment. So otherwise, I don't have anything of significance to report other than we're doing great.
How is our cabin revenue from compared to last year? Can you tell us that?
Yes. Can you give me just a minute here? I'll tell you that.
I think we have more candidates on the ballot than I ever remember in past history that have been around.
You do. A lot of the members that have called and showed interest, there's a lot that are interested in being a part of it. And they're seeing a lot of the feedback I'm getting on the phone when they accept it. They're seeing a lot of positive changes, and they're saying, I want to be a part of that. I see that there's some things happening that are not so messy or complicated, and they want to be a part of it. So I think that's showing, too.
Good.
So I have an answer for you. Last year at the same time of year, we were at 76% of our hoped-for income on reservations, and this year we're at 81.6%. So we are increased.
But that's of our expected cabin revenue, not necessarily the maximum possible.
Right. Not that's what we had hoped for.
Okay.
So dollar for dollar, does that mean we've collected more dollar for dollar this year than last year?
That is correct.
Because we didn't change the budget from one year to the other as far as expected income.
Yes, that is correct.
Fantastic. Any questions on cabins, office operations, what's going on as far as administration from the membership? Any comments or questions from the board?
I would note that the difference between this year and last year is that the new cabin fee assessments to members has taken place this full year, whereas we were phasing it out last year. So this is the first year that we've collected from our cabins. So that might be the difference in some of our percentages. So we'd have to compare cabin usage, how many members are using the cabins versus the dollars, to see if we're actually getting ahead or we're just making more money off of the people who use the cabins.
For sure.
I think the other factor is we have two more cabins in operation that we didn't have last year because of remodeling and that kind of stuff. So that's going to affect it too. If we have two more cabins out of 10 to be available, and I assume the renovated cabins are the most popular. Is that correct?
You know, I don't. Yes, in some respects, but not always. Not always. I think people are still booking based on what's available. Yeah, and the size. But they do love those that hit cabin 7. Oh, we love cabin 7. Oh, we love cabin 3. You know, they love the upgrades, and members are very positive about it. And I wanted to add too that as far as the cabin reservation fee process, I've had a few phone calls again where we've talked over the phone about, you know, what the fees are and why they've changed and all of that. But honestly, I feel like the membership has a good understanding of what's going on, and they're supportive of it. for the most part. There's some cases when we get on that upper end where people feel like, man, I'm paying a bunch of money for two of us for 2 weeks out here, you know. I understand where they're coming from. But it's still an overall, I would say, positive experience under this new reservation system. And for me, as processing the reservations, my number of steps have been cut in half. Also, another important factor that's a positive to this cabin reservation process is the keeping up of our fees. No longer am I having to work through and collect from people regularly those pay-for-play fees. So we're getting fees paid up front. We've had cancellations. We've had refunds. I've issued both. We're taking care of all of those. But the change has been super positive, I feel like. And I think it's comfortable and simple. And I think overall it's a great thing.
Fantastic. Any other questions?
Did you have one?
Oh, sorry.
I was going to say the same thing. Two cabins opened up this year versus what 2 years before was. And my other thing is, if we can just do a little bit more in some of the cabins, I think it will increase reservations, because increasing just a few things, minor changes, will update them to a point where it will act like a resort or act like something else that people will want to come. So I think with that in mind, I think we can increase that reservation due to what we do in the cabin for maintenance and updating.
Well, I think when we talk to the members, and we'll get into this a little bit more about things that they were concerned with, cabins was number one and roads was number two. So when we get to the discussion of why I think we should raise the dues, then I anticipate dedicating the majority of that increase, specifically line item, to those two items, roads and, or to cabin, I don't know how you call it, upgrades, the maintenance that should have happened and some of the things that really need to be repaired, and then a little more on roads that everybody uses and can benefit from.
You know, and on that subject with the cabins, and, you know, I know I put in a budget for cabin six, and I'm going to go back almost a year when you said, when we were doing cabin seven, you said, well, I'd like to see that money spread out a little bit more over more of the cabins. And I kind of put a plan together because, you know, six is closed and I've got a bunch of insulation in there and stuff. But if I took that money and applied it to six, nine, and 10, I think with the same amount of dollars, I could upgrade all three of those cabins substantially. And then other things, we can just do them on punch lists throughout the year as we get openings in them, little bits at a time.
Fantastic. All right. Well, with that, that's a perfect segue. Yes, sir. What was your name again?
Dad.
Yeah.
Are we keeping score this year as to how many nights the cabins are being used? Or do we say, well, they reserved for a week, and so therefore they're occupied for 7 nights?
Well, with the new system, then we track them at least on a 3-day basis. So we'll be able to tell usage within 2 or 3, or whether they reserve for 4 days or 3 days. Am I correct on that?
We'd be able to tell exactly.
No, I don't know. I don't. If somebody reserves it for 3 days and they only stay one, I don't think we're necessarily tracking that.
I let Mariah know when people leave early.
Okay. Well, yes.
We pay by the day now for the cabin, so we should know exactly.
Because if they reserve for three days, they pay for 3 days, and if you leave early, there's no refund. Dollars will be.
Yeah. So if they reserve 4 days and they leave after two, then unless Kurt lets her know, then we don't know.
But they paid for it, so it's like they're still there whether they're there or not.
Exactly.
It's not like we lost revenue. So
right. I think his question is how many nights are people actually staying in the cabins? Not necessarily the revenue, but just how often are they full?
And I think part of the reason, I don't know, I'm not thinking for Dale, but for my thoughts, a good reason to track that is, can we bring more activities to the ranch to get people to stay there full stay? Because we have a lot of people that do leave early. And it's probably about half of people leave a day early. And if we had more activities and more things going on, which is something I'd like us to work into, they'd have more reason to fill out their stay.
you know, having more things to do is one thing. I got my own cabin up here, and when it gets too hot, I leave.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they also do. If it gets too warm,
well,
you
yeah.
can't sleep, you just go home.
That's a good point.
So you're not going to stop all of it.
Get your air conditioner on.
I think we're tracking it pretty closely. So at the end of the year, that's maybe something that you can prepare to report at the annual meeting to say, hey, this year, you know, out of X number of potential cabin nights, we were full this many, and just so we have a figure.
Yeah, this year will be different, of course, because of all the reasons we've said, but I actually have been running since I started. So this year at the annual meeting, I'll have a four-year comparison. I've been tracking all along, and I'll continue to track so that we can hopefully get a 10-year comparison as we go. So,
all right.
Annual meeting.
Any other questions before we turn the time over to Kurt for his two-hour expose? It's all you.
I do have a few things, though. So we purchased tires last spring for watering the cattle at Half Moon Reservoir and out here in the well field. And I put together the cost. I'm not entirely sure. Brad and I haven't walked the Half Moon Reservoir yet. But these tires need to be installed. It's not just filling up the inner rim. Well, they have to be, water has to be run to them. They have to be cemented in place so they can be completely filled. And we're looking, we have about just under 2,000 feet of water line to run out from the, basically from the well to the last, second to last fence. And at a cost, if we do 3/4 inch PVC below the frost line, we're looking at a cost of about $1,500. And this is with, by $200 of that is buying a culvert, cutting it in half, burying it in the center of the tire, and all the guts of the float system go inside of that. $250 for two stainless steel valves from Watson Company, and that's all they do is cattle tanks and water valves for them. And 100 lengths of 3/4 inch PVC. It comes to about 1,300 and change, and I'm allowing to 1,500, you know, for any unforeseen expenses in that. So that's something that I think we have the tires. I think we need to get that going. We got dinged on from the health department. We got dinged on how we're watering the cattle. We're within that 100-foot perimeter of the well, and so we has
finished
to be
25% of that fence off of that. Well.
What's that?
We finished 25% yes. of the fence off on the well.
That's so my next part.
What's
the three? Brad did the whole fence all the way across that section.
So the top's fenced off.
If Phil last year started putting some posts on the other side of the generator, so I need to finish those corners. Today, Brad and I will go and take a look. I just got one question on one corner, and then I can get that fence done around there. It protects that. But then we don't have a water source to water the cattle outside that fence area, so this is kind of a priority project.
We could we could run a hose, but let me further explain that a little bit.
So go ahead, yeah.
Barry.
Go ahead.
The, the projects that we do are, we have some money available, some other people's money, OPM, to add to pay for this stuff, but it's on a cost share. And so we have to complete something before we get something, before say, okay, we completed this, and then we get other people's money to come back in to pay for the next project. We could just pay it for that project, but then we'd be at the impasse again. But what we need to do is complete this project to get rolling. It's divided in parts, and so that money's available to us in parts as we complete parts.
Right.
The well field is the easiest to complete because it already has a pressurized water system to run to it, so we don't have to establish the water. The Half Moon Reservoir, we have to build the solar panel to pressurize you know, and to pump our water out. So we have to do that from the ground up, everything.
Right.
This is just a matter of installing the things that we pretty much already have.
Right.
But we do have to follow a certain standard in, of schematics to run the pipe. So the pipe has to be a certain width, a certain diameter. We have to use a certain level of materials as we put back in there. And that's been engineered. They've come out and engineered this, both of those projects. And so that's already all exactly what we have to do. I haven't cost priced it all out, but
well,
it will be similar to what Kurt's saying.
So do we have shading included in that? Do we have to shade all this pipe?
No, because it'll all be underground and covered.
Well, shading it is putting sand or gravel over the sand pipe and to protect it from rocks.
Oh, as the plastic pipe runs down the line?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so
I think we have to bury it like a 30-inch depth. And
right.
Have a certain, I think it's 2-inch of black pipe that you run across through there. But other than that.
Oh, so the water line has to go in a black pipe?
I would think that you'd be able to run black pipe's cheaper. I would think that you'd be allowed to run regular 80-pound PVC, and there's no reason to do, unless it's a requirement, anything bigger than about 3/4 inch. But
I'll have to pull the schematics and we'll see what is actually required. But.
So you need to talk to him so we get the right stuff. Because I don't want to go out there and dig a hole and put the wrong stuff in and then have to go dig another hole.
Well, and this is just me, but I don't want black pipe connected anywhere to any of our water systems.
And if it was me, I would put in the 200 PSI polybutyl stuff. And
maybe that's what they engineer.
And it goes in fast.
And at the end of the day, do you have a what's the valve called that you have to have non-backflow?
Backflow prevention valve. That can be put.
Do you have that in your budget?
Yeah. Well, that's something we have one. The frost-free is a backflow prevention valve.
But we're still going to need to put one. That's our domestic water line. So right off the water line.
You have to put one right there.
Right.
We're going to have a backflow prevention.
Okay.
And an on-off valve there for the water line that's there.
Well, what we want to do is, well, in my conversations with Kurt is we want to put a valve, obviously, and then we'll put a backflow preventer. And then one thing I know about working on Deer Springs Ranch water lines is we do not put in enough valves.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we need to put shutoffs on because if we have a failure somewhere, we can make a fix faster and easier. But as long as, we've got to have a valve off of there, we've got to have a backflow preventer. And then you need to get those engineering things to him so we're not talking apples and oranges.
Now, do you, when you say polybutyl, you talk about PEX?
No.
Blue.
You talk about the blue ones with the black lining.
Blue, the stuff I've dealt with is blue. Comes in rolls of 300 feet.
Right.
You have to use the Ford couplings on it.
So if we do that, those couplings are $85 a piece. So every 300 feet, we have an $85 coupling, and that material is 75 cents a foot. And so you're looking at $1,500
but for
the pipe.
You don't have to do anything special about the line. You lay it in the ground, you bury it.
Right, but we got to get with
you
Brad.
You don't have to sand shade it?
Specs are on.
You don't have to sand shade it?
You don't have to sand shade it. The line went in the ground. My rocks went right back over it. It's 200 PSI. It will not break.
Okay, well, I don't know if we need more discussion, but this is something we really need to do in order to have our water system down here the way it's supposed to be and still be able to water the cows with less of our property manager's time. I don't know what we've got left in the water budget after we put in the J station, but I would move that we get that done and, again, fencing done around the protection zone last month.
That should just come out of the agriculture budget.
That's great with me.
Yeah, but we need to get the whole plan together because I'm working by myself on this, and I didn't know that there was there was specs on that part of it, and so I'm
going
to put this together.
So
we just need to get that together and get it done.
A copy of them to you and to you.
Okay.
When we get
If we follow the specs, then we might get reimbursed for all or a portion of what we're doing. So it's
and then that money goes towards the next section of the project, and then the next section.
Anybody want to second my motion?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. It was to get that installed. Work together, find out what we need. I'm assuming the budget's going to come in at around $1,500. Make it happen.
If we go with the poly, we're gonna double the. Well, no, you're gonna add $750 to it.
I have complete confidence that you're going to do it as inexpensively as possible, and still
you just can't underbuild what our specs are.
Right. Okay, so my second thing is in housekeeping. We've really got some great systems in place, Cindy and I. We've been using my Jeep as our housekeeping vehicle, and it works really well. We have the hatch access. We got it's a four-door, so we got all kinds of access to store all kinds of stuff. We go into the cabins, hauling stuff to and from. I propose that we buy a Jeep like similar to what I have and use that for housekeeping. So
you want your Jeep back, huh?
Well, I mean,
I'm kidding.
I would sell my Jeep, but I don't know if you want it. But I'm not trying to sell you my Jeep, but I would sell my Jeep or we need to go out and buy something that is specific for housekeeping instead of using pickups and stuff like that. This way it's always set up for housekeeping.
Joe's got a question
here. A lot. Yeah, Joe.
I don't have a question. I have a suggestion. Since he's using his equipment and these roads are beating it up and I've been helping him diagnose and fix some of it and he's buying the parts, I think the ranch should pay for some of his maintenance on his equipment while he's using his vehicle until we do buy something else. So I think the board should make a decision. Thermostats, heater hoses, radiator hoses, and all this stuff he's paying for. And because our roads are beating up his truck, and I don't think he should be responsible for that.
Well, and that's,
that's just my suggestion.
Okay.
My assumption was that whatever vehicles are being used in ranch use that we're paying for maintenance and parts as they.
I don't want to take advantage of the ranch, so I've been putting in. It hasn't been a fortune.
Do you want to put together a proposal as to what you would be willing to sell your Jeep for and look around? I mean, what we need here is we need you or somebody to look into it and come back and say, this is what I recommend, and this is what it's going to cost. Then we can decide yes or no. We want to keep looking.
I think Joe would be a good person to look around. I need to get probably $3,000 out of my Jeep. I'll put a proposal together, and then if Joe can, Joe knows more about vehicles.
I'm assuming it can be.
I'll buy a lemon.
I'm assuming it can be a Jeep or a van.
Van not. Jeep would be basically. And I'm kind of restricting us to the design that we have, a four-door with a hatch, four-wheel drive, because you need accessibility, because you got dirty linen, clean linen, you got cleaning supplies, and the way Cindy has the Jeep organized in there, it's just perfect. You go in, you have everything you need, you get to the cabin, you pick up everything else, and
Do we still have two ranch trucks?
Yes, I just fixed the rear differential on the Ford, so that one's back on the road, and I'm using that instead of my truck now.
Do we need two ranch trucks?
Are you talking about for housekeeping?
No, for any purpose. Do we need two trucks?
Well,
the flatbed truck is kind of like a tool truck. They put the generators and compressors and
so
stuff.
So it's not a daily driver. It's just for specific
when I'm working
purposes.
On when I'm working on a project, that's the one that you pull out. You've got all
pretty much sits around most of the time.
Yeah.
If for no other reason, when one's in the shop, you need something for a backup.
Yeah, you need a backup. And then Brett and I talked about the GMC is How many hundreds of thousands of miles are on that? Five?
Well, it's got some miles on it, and most of them are off-road and hard miles.
And we had discussed, I think it was last winter, that we're going to decommission the fire truck. And so Brent and I had a discussion of turning that into our utility vehicle when the GMC dies.
Will it work?
That'd be great.
It's only got 40,000 miles.
But it'll get around.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Joe, do you mind looking into that and coming back and telling us what you think we should do or can do?
I'll get with Kurt and see what he wants for sure, yeah.
Okay, let's do that because I can't really make a decision until we have at least a couple of options.
I wanted to bring out
I think it makes sense.
Okay, and so another part of my discussion regarding the generator area, the gate going into the generator, we got a big telephone pole there that's just barely sitting on top of the ground. I think the fence is holding it up. And I got a telephone pole back here. I want to take it out there and replace that. And that whole section of the fence also needs to be fixed in addition to everything else that we're doing out in the well field. So
I don't have any objection. Anybody have an objection to moving that and reinstalling a telephone pole out there? Okay.
Okay, that's all I got.
Did you talk to Brent and Vance about moving the internet equipment into the ranch house?
I was
going to
wait until
possible?
Brent, Vance, and I were all in the same room together. But that's something I want to talk about.
Is that something that's even possible?
It's possible. Vance will be here today. I guess you know that the network has been down, up and down, up and down, up and down. The phone hasn't been working. We're going up on, I've spent most of my time over the last 10 or so days working on the network.
Hiking up the mountain.
Had to take a table on my computer up there. And anyway, long story short, we should have it fixed by tomorrow afternoon. Monday afternoon. We're going up to TV Hill to replace the two dishes. We got four dishes up there. We're going to replace two of them. And so it's going to be, that'll boost things here. As far as moving the HughesNet, I think we can do it, we probably can do it.
It's just a thought because it gets so hot in there.
Oh, no. We agree. Yeah. I don't think it was the greatest place to put it in the beginning.
Okay.
You know, it's not the cleanest place in the world, and it's, you know, it's hot.
Yeah.
Well, if anything we can do to get the communication back up and running, that's, you've spoiled us into being able to call out here, and it's kind of miserable not to be able to. So let's focus on that, whatever we need to do, and then the HughesNet thing can be secondary if that's feasible. I didn't know if we put it out there because of the line of sight reasons or what. But.
Well, no, the modem doesn't. The modem can be anywhere, and I think when they installed it, they just did it for the shortest amount of cable that they needed to use, and so. The dish needs line of sight type stuff, but the modem can be anywhere.
Well, if I need to buy more cable out of my pocket, I'm happy to do that. Let's just get it done.
Well, I can't see why we can't extend it.
Okay. Well, not top priority, but let's look at it. Anything else, Kurt?
No, that's it for me.
All right. Update on Podunk Podunk Road. Cindy, you want to talk to us about your new road? I guess you're here too.
Yeah.
You snuck in.
Are you guys both a lot?
Yeah, well, we actually started right on time.
You're the two lot owners on that?
Well, there's
also the ninth, the Woods family. Have you been able to get your trailer in?
Oh, yeah, my trailer's in.
Okay.
Is everybody happy out there?
No, we're okay. No, it's good. The way you do it has been good.
Okay, the only thing is, I don't know who on the board is in charge of signage, but I'd like to see us put a sign on both ends of that new road identifying, because I guess, I didn't know this,
because I don't go out to Podunk. But there are a lot of ATVers and riders that are looking for a road that was blocked off, and so they're just making their own roads across Cindy's lot and other lots. And if we, I think if we post along the Cole Road on the south and the Podunk Road on the north, that's where the connection is, then you'll be able to have a lot less confused people driving all over the place. Does that make sense? Am I wrong on that?
You're not wrong. I wouldn't characterize it as people making new roads. They're using
the road that's
the drive that Bob Allen put in originally that starts on 17 and crosses over 16. They use that. But they do drive around where that gate is. I've seen them go back.
If they're using GPS, then it shows they're supposed to go right there and there's nothing there.
So with that road there, if it has a sign, they'll go, oh, this is where I'm supposed to be.
No, I think it's just some access.
And this is just drive-to traffic that comes through from Meadow Canyon over. Is that what the traffic is?
They're starting now. I've noticed a couple vehicles now coming through there. At first, there was no tracks on there of people coming through. People are starting to use it now. They see it. So we can put a sign down, especially the one coming off not up on the main road, but the one on the BLM road.
Right.
I think that's the one they're going to see more. And the way that you guys graded it in, it automatically sends you that way. So I think it's a good thing.
Good.
I'd like to say something. I am a little bit concerned, especially if we're going to do the signage, because they built, and I'd sent you guys all of the pictures and stuff, but you've got that valve right there next to the road. And so if you've got a bunch of people using that and not aware that that valve's there, I'm really concerned about that. If we could straighten that road a little bit and the larger, but it's right on the inside turn, and if somebody's not paying attention, they could break that valve and everybody's out of water.
I think we need to put some fence posts.
And then put a post.
What if we put a post at the valve?
Put a big post at the valve. And
then you see it.
Yeah, right now they put fence posts around, it's easy going around, but Kathy's right that if we come up, just move this way a little bit more and just grab a little bit bigger turn and put the post in there.
What about some big rocks?
The only problem with rocks is when it's snowy. When there's snow out there, you're not going to see the rocks.
It's not going to matter, even with the post. So Larry and I kind of talked about it, but he had said that he was told to stay on that side.
It's feasible.
Well, let's look into that a little bit.
And I told Kathy when on that tour, I could put some gravel in there. I'll live with gravel out. Now, what about the gravel on the road? You got to get all the gravel up there to gravel?
The road is how it is.
Okay.
As far as we're concerned, it's dirt on both ends, and there's no reason to have anything. But if you guys want to, you can get together and improve it further if you'd like.
Yeah.
You guys kind of have your own little gravel pit there, right?
Well, the only problem with the gravel pit, I bought a John Deere little dozer. The problem in that rock is I threw my tracks because of the rock. Broke it, but the problem with there's no gravel up there. So I got, when I hauled gravel down there, I got a whole bucket full of rocks out of a load of
yeah,
6 yards of gravel. So if we could get a grizzle bar, a grizzle, whatever you call it, there to separate, it'd be nice. Cause
we're supposed to be getting a grizzly this next week.
Are we?
Yeah.
Okay, well then
Podunk is getting their own grizzly up there.
Well, the one we had, we got taken, and we were supposed to get it back, but it didn't sound like it. So Mark Cram said that he would donate one. I don't know what kind of condition it is, but...
Well, anything would help.
And so we're supposed to get one.
Time and get that gravel.
Yeah, that's kind of you guys' own deal up there. The gravel pit.
The own deal up there.
The gravel pit.
People feed us up there. Anyway. But yeah, that's the trouble. Like you say, the rocks. Because I started doing it, and there's just too many rocks and stuff. If we get a grizzly bar up there, then I'll have that.
All right, let's
move. Don't even know anything about it.
Let's move along here. Update on fence on lot one, Kathy.
Well, Lyndon said he was going to be here to explain it, but he's not. So, it's 3,960 feet of fence.
Okay.
And this is
the fence. All of lot one or just a portion?
This is all of lot one. Now, we did some walk around, did some repairs. Cows were coming in on part of lot one, but also on lot two. Bi went in and fixed that, so the cows were staying off, but we don't even have a fence on the north property line. That fence is a BLM fence, which is Jonesy's and BLM. So we don't even have one on the north side of our property, lot one. But there's a lot of clearing that he has to do on lot one, on the north side, and he said that that would be 20 cents a foot that he would charge for clearing that. And then it's a dollar a foot, so it's $3,960, but then he's charging the $3,960 for installation.
So I'm bad at math. That's why I went to law school.
Options.
You've got two options. Okay.
He's got two options. 8,460 feet, and that's not clearing as much on lot one and working the best he could. Our lot option two is $9,260. Excuse me, dollars. So that's what he's got submitted. So. I was going to send you guys all this, but I just got it.
Yeah.
What's that?
Every time you said feet, it means dollars?
Yeah, because it's a dollar a foot.
Plus cleaning.
Plus the labor, which is a dollar a foot. So it's $2 a foot.
That's going all the way around that?
That's going all the way around it.
And so what's the...
I think we should just put one on the north side. Well, unless you guys want one on the south side.
What is the issue to begin with? Is it the water source?
No, it wasn't the water source. It was that we had a bunch of cows on the. We had 60 to 80 cows on lot one, and it. We had grass clear up to here, and it's
yeah. But those cows go. Those cows go all to all 25 lots. What if we looked at something that went?
But they weren't. That was the reason why we were having a problem. They stayed right there until Bi fixed the fence. Now they're not on that. Now they're on all 27 lots.
Right. So that's fixed. And I think Dale was saying that we have an obligation to take care of that water source, right?
You own it.
Well, it's our water source. I mean, we should build a fence around it. But I'm just trying to understand why we're building a fence around lot one and not worrying about the cows getting into Podunk in general. And looking for a solution that works for everybody.
Well, I think that should be done as the exterior fence. And I thought, if we just put the exterior fence on the north side, I think that would be good. That way, if somebody decided they wanted to throw a cow in there or something, that it would not be on the other property on the north side.
Right. So keeping them off the BLM.
Yeah. Because I thought we were supposed to have a fence on the north side.
We're not supposed to have a fence. But if we don't want cattle on our property, we have to have a fence.
Well, there's a portion of that lot has been fenced, and Dad provided me with a 3 or 4 page written history. I don't remember all of it, even though I read it. But bottom line is there's a portion of lot one that's fenced, but not all of it. Right. So the question is, and Kathy did exactly what I asked her to, and that is get us a bid to fence lot one.
And it sounds like it's $8,000?
It's about $9,000 either way. So the question is, do we just fence the north part, or do we fence any of it at all? And how much discussion do we want to have about spending money on that? Protecting lot one from overgrazing of cattle and the water source that's there. Anyway, Brad, I cut you off.
You did?
Yeah, I thought you sounded like you were going to say something else.
I'm having a hard time understanding what we're talking about.
John.
Why we would consider spending $8,000 to fence.
Kathy did what I asked her to, and that is get us a bid. Because before that, we had no idea whether it was $5,000 or $5. So just because she got a bid.
Now we have a number.
Now we have a number. Now we can talk about and discuss where are we at and whether we do part or all or none.
I see.
Okay, so we got at least $9,000 on the bid.
Yes.
And now we're talking about fencing the whole thing in case somebody might want to put a cow on it. Why would anybody from here want to put a cow on it?
Well, nobody's saying that they do or don't. That's just part of the discussion. I mean, if it were me, and if that's the case, and somebody says, I want to put a cow on lot one, then I'd be perfectly happy to say, I'll let you put all the cows you want on there. You pave the fencing. Have a nice day.
Yeah, well,
we get free fencing.
Yes. The original complaint that came to me on that, and it came to Kathy as well, was from Ed Kennedy. And it had to do with water, not cow. Cows were involved, but cows were affecting the water. Now I find that the water source does belong to us, but it's not actually on the lot.
Right, it's off.
It's off the lot. Well, if we're going to protect the water source, let's protect the water source. But I can't see put $9,000 around that in case somebody wants to put a cow on it. I would rather see that $9,000 to go the full length there to protect all the lots.
Well, and I think
there's
that's kind of what
lots out there.
I think that's kind of what Kathy's saying. Yeah. Did I misunderstand? Put it along the north side, and
just
that,
on the north side.
That's what you were saying.
Yeah.
And that's our ranch boundary with our neighbor.
Yeah.
Kathy, will that prevent cows if we did that north side? Looked at doing that north side. Would that prevent the cows from getting into Podunk?
No.
No.
That would stop them from getting on lot one. But then again, I've seen the cows break all the fences, so I can't say that. But isn't that part of the hunt deal, though? I mean, they haven't been there since I was going to say Norris Brown, but Brinkerhoff's. But they usually come in after they've left, and then the hunt cows come in. So is that not a problem for you?
We've never put cows in photo.
No, I don't think you've put them there. I think they.
Well, I think what Brad's worked out with me to make sure is that I keep a good supply of water at Deer Springs
Point. And that, I think that's probably.
And that prevents them from moving down.
John, you got something else to say here?
This is Brad. Maybe you can answer. Is this part of the deal that we had here a couple of years ago when John? I can't remember his last name.
The BLM guys?
Yeah, want to get a group together and do fencing. Is this the same area or is it a different area? Okay. So Brinkerhoff, then, it's basically his
line.
Cows. Is this correct?
Pardon?
It's basically Brinkerhoff's cows that were...
Yep, and I called and I've talked to BLM. I've talked to the branding...
You? What did the BLM tell you?
They said, we are responsible for fencing them out. I says, they've got the BLM lease on the north side. They should be keeping their cows over there. And I says, there's a BLM fence. Aren't they supposed to repair that? And they said, yes. But you're responsible. Fence out state, just like you guys have said.
Where's
fence
the BLM
out
fence at?
There is a private piece at 60 acres just north. It goes up and around it on the east side. And it is Steve Jones, and he's passed away. Now his kids. There's no fence line between
and that's
us.
The BLM boundary fence is on his
right.
property above us.
Right.
And so BLM will pay the materials to repair that fence. We already collected some materials. So the BLM will pay the brunt of the materials if we can get laborers to fix that BLM fence to keep the cows from coming up past the BLM, which will keep them from coming past our north boundary.
I went over that with the BLM, and I have a map I wanted to show you guys. And it shows that fence, and they pointed it out, that fence is cutting straight across through BLM land. They said, wait a minute, that fence doesn't belong there, and there shouldn't be a fence there. The fence should go along the private property line. So,
but the fence now currently goes on BLM property?
It shows on the map that this, you know, because Podunk kind of cuts out like that, and this fence just kind of, there's a buffer zone of BLM property between the fence and the private property.
Are you talking the east property line?
Yes.
Okay, yes.
Okay,
that's a different line.
Oh, it is?
The east property line is where they're coming in.
I have one more question on this.
Okay.
If we decided to run a fence to stop them, the Brinker House cows, from coming onto those 25 lots up there. Brinkerhoff has the lease on it, so that is BLM property. Am I right or wrong?
You're right.
Right.
Okay. If it's BLM property, then that means that the BLM would supply the materials. Is that correct?
I think that...
No.
That is what they told me.
The BLM will provide fencing on BLM property, where there's BLM property on both sides of the fence. Where it hits private property, that's a fence out state. So that's the property owner's responsibility.
So if we go to the BLM fence and fix the BLM fence so the cows can't come through, BLM will pay fencing materials.
Right.
Okay, so they won't
pay for
that.
So that's not a cost to us. It's just labor to us.
Yeah. So they, in other words, they won't furnish it for what I'm just suggesting.
They won't
no,
fence
I
private
tried
property
that already.
Boundaries.
At the boundary there, even if we set it a foot on BLM, they won't do it.
I think they'd figure that out.
Well, you know, I understand, but...
They're ready for shysters like you, John.
Well, that doesn't make sense to me, but that's the law. I won't argue
with
that.
What personally makes sense to me is that we work on our boundary fence over there to try to keep a cow from coming in across that BLM boundary.
Well,
and anywhere it's on BLM boundary, then we can use BLM material.
I agree. I would like to make a suggestion that we put that fencing around the water source and then go down.
Who owns the land on the water source, Dale? Wait. Who owns the land at the water?
Jonesy
owns it. So can we can't fence his property, can we?
I'm sure we could get them to agree to it. I bet they would. Because
I sold 40 acres to Dominic Clementi back in New Jersey on the hill. And the other was to John Holt, a forest ranger, has a 60 acres. And he's sold now to Jonesy. And I think there's some easy things to be decided up there. One question is, does DSROA want to protect 20 acres?
From what?
From destruction? From anything?
You mean, do we want to fence the 20 acres that we own up there?
Do you want to protect them? Do you want to fence them?
Yeah.
Now, I have spent years on cultivating and
really
making kind of a nice spot with a lake on it, water, different things. Do you want to continue that?
Well, it's all a question of money. Do we want to fence lot one? Yeah, I'd love to fence that. I'd love to fence the airstrip. I'd love to fence lots of things. It's the question is, and now we have more information than we ever have before, and that is, in order to fence that lot, it's going to be $9,000. Do I think that that's a priority as far as spending $9,000 to fence it right now? No, I personally don't. But if we can take it in sections and it helps fence out cattle in the Podunk area, and we can do the north side now and plan on doing others a little bit as it's feasible, then yeah, I think that makes sense. But till today, I didn't have a number to even talk about. Maybe I'm speaking out of turn, but I'm not at a point where I'm ready to fence the lot and pay for it right now.
Yeah.
But having it in a future project and doing it pieces at a time, that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it'd be great if we could work it out so all of Podunk is protected.
Yeah, I'd like to see one.
The homestead should be.
Yeah.
Candy, you had something?
I was going to say, if you were to fence the north side, that still doesn't protect the water source, though.
No, there are two different things.
That would be minimal, though. How big is the water source?
It's good. Supposedly,
got
water
a fence
source is
around
100
it.
Feet on each side, right?
That's if it's for culinary use, yes.
It's down. It's a it really broken down fence. So
that's
I think if we just follow
that's
that,
what
it
the
would,
people in the pole are using that water for culinary.
Those cows, they've done damage to my water.
It's their water
on
system, but they're using it.
Just this last
week. Do you have contact with the Jones family? You say
I do.
would you talk to them and let us know if they would object to us fencing the water source up there to protect it from cattle and let us know?
Okay.
I mean, if they say no, then it's a whole different ball game than if they
it's
say
got a
yes.
It's around it, but it's broke down. It's yeah. So I think if we just use that same property line, I think however they got it would be awesome.
Well, here's what I propose, since we're not going to make any real big decisions today. Number one, talk to Jones and see if they're amenable to us fencing or refencing the water source. That's the source of the Podunk water.
Mm-hmm.
And Brad, would you look at some fences and tell us what needs to be done for a livestock management standpoint and what we can get the BLM to participate on and what we can't. We now know it's going to be $2 a foot for whatever we pay for. Let's find out what we can get away with. I know that sounds bad, but it's a ranch. That's the way it works. So
the I don't clearly understand what our boundaries are up there and where the lot boundaries are up there. If I knew that, I could give you a lot better answers. I understand the ground itself, but who owns what and where we start and where somebody else. So I need somebody to show me boundaries.
Come see me, I'll show you now.
It's pretty easy to see if you take a map or if you have a GPS right in that area. And then there's signs a lot of places as soon as you cross over to somebody else's property.
So at the cattle guard, do we own this side of the cattle guard?
Which cattle guard are you talking about?
No, it's BLM. They own a small portion, and then after that is Brinkerhoff's. The cattle guard is lot 13. That starts lot 13 right there at the cattle guard.
Right at the cattle guard
mm-hmm.
is lot 13.
Can you and Kathy talk after or whenever
you can? Yeah,
because I'm not smart enough to figure out what needs to be done to keep cattle from jumping over under or digging holes. So
I'm pretty sure that a lot of the problem that we're going to find in the end is going to be lick wash, because lick wash takes the fence out and then the cows come around and through lick wash. So that's going to be the problem. Keeping cows out of Podunk.
Well, the other problem with keeping cows out of Podunk, correct me if I'm wrong, is people leave the gate open. It's pretty easy when they walk around the gate that's standing open next to the cattle guard. We can build all the fences you want, and if people keep leaving the gates open, whether that's on purpose or not,
100%.
It's pretty difficult to convince those cows that they should stop at the open gate. So, just my thoughts, right?
Ditto, yeah.
Okay. All right, moving on. Association dues discussion. We'll keep this really fairly short. I proposed in the last meeting, those of you who are here, that we raise the assessments from $475 a year to $500 a year. And I told, who was it that was asking for? Anyway, we talked about getting some more detail as to justifying what that might be dedicated to, and I also invited any of the board members to come with suggestions, but I'll go first. I went back through the last set of polls that we took of the membership and what was important and spending money and those kind of things, and the highest priority from members' feedback was cabins. The second priority was roads. If we raise the assessment $25 a lot, that basically ends up being $7,000 additional income to the ranch each year. And as I stated in the last meeting, without donations, heavy donations from several people, most of whom are here right now, then that $7,000 wouldn't cover the first month of rent on that. But in the spirit of moving forward, I think that the additional funds, $2,500, should be dedicated to capital improvements. That's making major repairs as we need them moving forward. $2,500 additional goes towards roads and culverts and maintenance there, and the balance just goes into the general fund. The bottom line is there's no reason to justify collecting more money. The dues have been in the basement and very low for a long time. They haven't raised, we haven't kept up, and we've been really fortunate to be able to cut costs. But as we want to maintain the ranch moving forward, we're going to have some more money, so we might as well get take it in little steps and little bites rather than
getting down the road and saying, okay, now we have to double it. So any input from board members or others on whether I'm wrong or whether I need to go back to elementary school? Brad?
I have a differing opinion. I'm more of the opinion that since the 3 years that, 4 years, I guess it's about up now, that I've been serving on the board and actually involved in the budgets and everything, we've never ran in the red. We've always ran in the black. And we've had, I've seen emergencies come up where we have to install new septic systems in two of the cabins, totally remodeled the ranch house. We bought a backhoe and a dump truck. We've remodeled cabin 7. We've remodeled cabin 3. And I know there's lots of donations and stuff and people putting in work. But what my point is that before we raise the dues to justify it, I can see us continually with the money that we have. This has all been on the budget that we've been living under. We've been plugging holes as we go, but if we keep managing and plugging holes and managing our money and pushing it into areas that are most important and not spending money where it's least important, I think that management, proper management of our budget can continue to do those things that you think are, or that you've mentioned are necessary and important. So I'm not, at this point, I'm not a fan of raising members' fees until I can see a real hardcore need for it, in my opinion.
Well, I got a comment on that, and I agree with you, Brad, but, you know, when we go through and, like, the improvements that were done on Cabin 7 and Cabin 3, and then we push forward and we keep improving, we got to remember we got to backpedal and maintain what we're improving. And there's a cost associated with the maintenance of our improvements. And I just want that included into what Brad said, because that's
John
part of the program.
Well, let me say this. You just said it. Cabins are number one, roads is number two. I'll explain a little bit about, I don't know about cabins, but roads, my budget is $50 per lot per year. Okay. I remember I went over and spent a little over $5,000 over on the Podunk 1 year to fix that one, and I was only 25 lots over there. Okay. That's a lot more money than $50 per lot. And we got other lots up here that need it too. $50 per lot per year isn't a lot of money, and everybody has a lot of wants and desires. Right now, the roads really need some work, but they're so dry that if you run a grader over them right now, you're going to screw them up worse than
you wouldn't
know. It's going to be like dust, like going. Like if you went out that back gate going up to the Pinks there, there's dust this thick. And the road, it's just as rough as if it were a road, because that dust is so thick there and so soft it just hits the bottom on it. We need moisture for that. But we have a lot of, and that's just this road, because we got a lot of other traffic going on it, because this road here going to Cannonville is now shut off, and they're going
it's
through
that. It's been open.
It's open.
What?
Yep.
It's open. Yeah, right
open.
Through
did
now.
They open it?
It's open. It's open.
The sign is still up. It's,
yeah. They open. Just haven't taken the sign down. It's completely yeah. open. They're gone.
But anyway.
Is it permanently fixed? Is the bridge
yep.
over it? The
bridge is over it. Yep. Guardrails on it.
Yeah. All right.
So
that's a
good. They just haven't taken this sign off.
That's a good thing. I put $17,000 on Meadow Canyon last year. I put it 6 inches thick between the Podunk and just past the gravel pit. 6 inches thick. And look at it now from all the traffic that's coming over. Yeah, it's better, but it's rougher than a cob.
Go get the sign down there and put it on Meadow
yeah.
Canyon.
yeah. my point is there's a lot of other roads up there that people have asked me about, but we've been basically maintaining the main roads, and some of the others are getting neglected, and they would like to have it. If we're ever to get into these others, we're going to have more money.
Well, and I think they're just for me. Uh-huh. There's several things I'd like to see happen that I think make sense, including, you know, bathroom at the fish pond.
Yeah.
There's no way we can fit that into our budget the way it is. So allowing for a little bit extra gets us closer to being able to do something other than just treading water. And I, you know, I understand where you're coming from, Brad. It's a surprise you disagree with. No, I'm just kidding. Candy.
I have the same attitude that Kurt has. What we've been doing is pushing the rock down the road, and we have not addressed the needs of the cabins. You cannot just expect people to donate to get the cabins where they need to be. There have been very few improvements, and when I say improvements, I'm not just talking about new gas lines and different kinds of things or new refrigerators. We need to go in there and pull out kitchens, pull out bathroom stuff, and I don't care which one it is, and that's just minimum. If you go in the cabins, sometimes the bottom floors look really nice with the flooring. Upstairs looks terrible. It's peeling off. We cannot just use the money that we have because we haven't been spending it. You've got to take that money for budgets for cabins and not just say major repairs for the cabins themselves. Divide it by 10, but now you're saying the beds aren't good. You need new linens. You need new towels. You need these cabins. We try to do like one cabin a year and then spread out everything else among the others. It's not working. I go in there and I do things, I work through, but I'm still looking at it going, and I'm sorry this little comment. You can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig.
Well,
and we have got to get in there and do the things that need to be done. And we've got a lot of cabins. If we want the ranch to be maintained, you need that money. Otherwise, these things are going to fall. And they're going to get to a point that, you know, like Brent had said before, maybe we just need to tear them down. But wait a minute, we don't have the money to bring that back up. How can we get reservations going? How can we get people staying? How can we get the interest here if where they're staying is subpar?
Well, I think just as an example, cabin one, the downstairs, over time, then the wall is bowed in because of that needs to be excavated, and we don't have that in the budget as of right now, and we need to plan for those kind of things. It's not something that has to happen tomorrow, but it needs to happen sooner rather than later. And that's just one cabin that I'm aware of, because I don't go to all the cabins, but we've got a good start on helping some cabins and making them look better, but we've got a long way to go. So that was the basis.
And then to finish it off, we have all the safety issues
right
to be addressed. And again, to fix those things takes money. And one of those major items, the gentleman said, all of the hot water tanks, 25 years old.
Yep,
is it going to happen that it's an emergency? Whoops, this one's out. Whoops, this one's out. I think we bit the bullet by saying, oh, the refrigerators are working a little bit.
But for how long?
But two is not. I have guests in two. They can't use the refrigerator. It's not working.
The freezer's working.
You're not going to...
The freezer's working.
No, okay.
The refrigerator, too, needs to get burped.
We heard it this morning ourselves.
What's that?
We heard it yesterday. They said it wasn't working.
Yeah, because we hop on those fridges as soon as we know about it.
Joe, you had something else to say.
You don't know when you have to buy more due to the fact that they got old.
And that's what first started me thinking is when we thought we were going to have to replace five or six refrigerators. Fortunately, that didn't happen, but it's always a possibility. Sorry, Joe, go ahead.
You know, Brad's right. We haven't not used the budget properly. We've stayed within the budget. But the problem is we've been stealing money from John's roads. He had $20,000 one year. We took five away from him because we put in a septic tank. We have to have an increase for the reasons like Candy's saying. We've donated time and money with people helping us get cabins 3, 7, and 2 up and running. We got all this new stuff in there, and we got friends staying in cabin 2 right now, and they told me this morning they had a some sugar cookies on the counter, and the mice ate a hole through it. So we can't stay on top of this unless we get more money into them. I personally put concrete wallboard around cabin 2. I personally siliconed every caulking hole I could find. We thought we had it all stopped, and bingo, the mice find another way in. We have to have somebody go in there, and like the Collins did with cabin 3, spend some money and actually do a job and get caught up and stop. The new stuff we're doing is getting damaged. We got to stop that.
John?
I can say one thing on the mice. They're kind of like sand in the sand dunes when you're running the sand rails. They can get into a sealed can of beans, sand can, soaking the mice. But I have a refrigeration container up there that doesn't refrigerate, but that's where I have my food storage. Mice get in there. It's impossible to get in a container unless you leave the door open. I open the door, and those dang mice, I just open it, and there's one like he's sitting there waiting. Several times I've seen them run right in there. Of course, I got glue traps, and I catch them. But you can seal. I know what kind of sealing you did up there. I've seen it. But if you leave that door open...
And people leave because the cabins are warm in the summertime, and they leave all the doors and windows wide open. Uh-huh. And a lot of them, like I learned in cabin 3, they left the upstairs deck open at night, and they were saying they had a squirrel come in at night when the door was open.
All right. Well, I appreciate the input. Like I said, I think this needs to be a discussion item for a few minutes at the annual meeting. And when we send out ballots, Mariah, I'd like to send out a separate for your information, because the membership doesn't get to decide this, but I would like to poll the membership and say that if I'm the only one, and I'm happy to say I recommend raising the dues. I'd like to hear from membership as to what they think, but I think the first meeting after the annual meeting that I'm going to bring it up for a vote, and obviously I'm only one vote, and it will be either approved or not, but that needs to be part of our budgeting for next year, whether it is or isn't approved. So, any comments from membership?
Just a quick clarifier. Do you want them in this mailing, or do you want an email sent?
We'll just send an email. It doesn't need to be formal. That's right. You have these ready to go Monday.
Yeah. Yep. I can drop something in,
nope,
except for the ones I crossed out.
Nope. We'll send it by email. Yes, sir?
Can there be things brought up at the annual meeting and voted on? A lot of times during the year we say we'll wait till the annual meeting so membership can vote. Can things come up at the annual meeting and be voted on?
The simple answer is yes, but we would strongly prefer not to. The reason being is if it's brought up at the meeting, we don't have everybody there, number one. Number two, it's hard for us to think about it and have an opportunity to digest any information that's presented and voted on right that minute. So, yes, it can be. I, for one, am not going to tell somebody that they can't bring something up, but at the same time, it's better if we have some advance notice just so people can digest information.
Another comment to go along with what Brad said. If we have the members put money in on an annual assessment to be used, I hear comments that why leave it in CDs and cancel the project and not spend the money. And then I'm in favor of raising the annual assessment. Why? I am not saying this for that purpose. But to have $150,000 in CDs, I'm not sure I want to pay my dues next year to put more money in CDs.
Anybody that thinks, any member that thinks we have money in CDs, have them talk to me, because they don't read the budget very well if they think that.
Yeah, where do we have CDs?
We don't. Do we?
No.
Not CDs, but he's talking about savings. He's talking about
the only savings we have is dedicated savings. For example, there's a fund set aside to replace the batteries for the solar system. That's not savings. It's not money we're just sitting on. We had to spend it all last year to replace all the batteries. We're just trying to avoid some some catastrophe where we don't have money to pay for the essentials.
Last month, it was reported that there was over $100,000 sitting somewhere. Or more.
I don't think so.
I would love to know where that's at. Because
no.
Last month, here's the minute from last month, the Treasury report noted that in our operating checking account, there was $102,000.
Yes.
And in our operating savings account, there was $59,000. And then there is the special benefit account that's been set aside and is still being determined where it's going to be allocated is $4,200. That's
so
all the money we have.
$160,000. We elect you guys, and I think you can make decisions for these emergency things and use the budget and get on with some other projects.
Mariah,
members have paid for.
If we carry out the rest of the year according to our budget, how much of that money is going to be left over at the end of the year?
Well, I can't answer that quickly.
Okay.
But I can answer that.
Well, our budget was $142,000 for the year.
Oh, right. Oh, that's
so deduct that from, we'd have $20,000.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Sorry.
So if we spend the money that we already have budgeted to carry over from one year to the next, we have $20,000. Not $160,000 or anything. That money's in the account, but that's there and will be spent between now and the end of the year.
And what we're trying to do is save when we write the budgets, is to have the money in the bank and be able to spend it and actually get that budget done instead of having to put part of a project on hold, waiting for members to pay their dues or for us to...
And I know there are members that read those things and think we're building some kind of slush fund to be able to retire on or something, but last year we were over budget by $3,000 or something. We try to carry a little bit because we have to function from the end of the year until assessments are paid in March, and we have to spend some money to keep the things operating. So
you're saying the plan is to spend most of this $160,000 in the next 4 months?
Well, there's going to be a pretty good chunk of that. The only reason that most of that hasn't been spent already is because of the meetings we had in February and March, and we said don't spend money. So, John, what have you spent on roads?
I've spent zero.
Zero on roads.
Zero.
What have you spent on livestock?
Zero.
What have you spent on cabins?
Maybe 3,000.
We cut out the project for the water, so that we knew that we had money. It's not that money is just extra.
But the money's there, and so we could be doing projects because the money's there. Because part of the reason we cut it back was because of COVID. We were concerned about the COVID thing, and we've got over 95%.
Yeah, we did that when we were at 74%, and we were concerned.
Plus, our money is higher from cabin rental than it was before. We don't have a critical emergency at the ranch right now. I think we should spend the money on the projects that the ranch needs.
See, I need to spend the money that I have.
I think
right now is not
got to wait for rain.
I need some moisture to do it. But if I don't spend it, we're going to have a real mess. But if I spend it now and bring in a grader out here and spend $10,000-$15,000 on the roads, it's going to be, the roads are going to be a mess because it's so dry. Now, I'm getting into my road thing here a little.
Why don't you go ahead and...
Yeah.
Did we respond to your question? I want to be clear. I'm not taking offense by your question, but I do think that whoever's talking about these CDs and extra money, they haven't looked at the budget or don't understand how things have run for the last... We're trying to get ahead of the curve a little bit. But there is no extra money that's being set aside just for the sake of holding money in a bank account and feeling good that we're...
Kind of are
what?
Doing exactly that.
Building a slush fund?
No, we're setting money aside in the bank account so we feel good about whatever emergencies come down the road, and we're not spending any of the money on the projects that we have
yeah, we have delayed the projects, okay, so but they haven't gone away.
He's kind of right. He's using CDs just as a terminology, but what he's talking about is savings. People's assessments should come in and improve the ranch that they own. That's what I want my money going for, is you know, to improve the ranch and do the projects, and that's why I debate with you on whether or not we should be trying to get a year ahead, because that's exactly what he's talking about. We'd have a year ahead, we'd have over $100,000 ahead, where we'd have to back off on projects to accrue that money before we can move forward doing things. And so there's argument. I think we should talk about that. You know, there's merit to that.
Well, that's why we're asking for input from the members, yeah, to see how they feel about where we're at and whether they feel comfortable with the raise an assessment or whether we're spending the money properly.
I know we're kind of dragging out. Let me just say one more thing is with regards to the cabins and stuff. And tell Kathy, well, actually, I guess we went up to 1 year, Kathy, because we did this because it had to be done. But until that was done, I'd never seen in years and years that I've been coming out here any major money or effort or emphasis put in to bring cabins back all the way up. And so since that ranch house was done, then they did cabin 7, and then they did cabin 3. 6 is on the table. What Kurt's talking about, hey, we can greatly improve, you know, 6, 9, and 10. 8's pretty dang good, really.
Yeah. I mean, as 8 needs some work. But
a little bit of things.
Yeah.
But that means a lot of our cabins, pretty nice already, and now there's a big emphasis. Bose's with cabin 3, as they remodeled that up there, it was an emergency, so they had to do it, but we're getting a lot of our cabins starting to tune up, and so,
yeah,
and that hasn't been historically where the emphasis has been, because there haven't been these kind of projects happening on a major level like that we've just seen. So I'm just saying,
we're doing a lot of the right things.
We're focused on it now,
yeah,
whereas we weren't focused on it back in. We're focused on different things or a certain level of things,
right,
back now. So I think we're moving forward at a pretty good pace with the monies that we've collected, and so that's kind of where I'm sitting.
But with those monies collected, we were standing at 70-80% for a length of time. We had to pay gas bills, propane bills, our manager, these had to be paid, and you didn't know what was coming in. So we're at a point now, we're more solvent, and we can take a deep breath.
Mm-hmm.
So now is the time that we can start doing some of the projects. No rain, we couldn't do roads. People to do the job were not available. So we were cautious, saved it, so that we could use it when we needed it, and at the same time pay the bills that needed to be paid. So I don't think it's anything but being prudent and not spending something that we didn't have. Because we didn't have materials coming in. We didn't know how the cabins were going to be in reservations, what money we're going to get due to the COVID. So with everything now shows that we were doing the right thing, we had the money, we should be moving forward with it, which we are. So that's where we are, and I think that's a positive thing.
And I'm happy, I'm very happy with where we are, and not to belabor the point, so we'll just let's send out an email to the membership. I'd like to hear from them how they feel, and we'll have more discussion in the annual meeting as to what we do with the budget. And I mean, if others have suggestions on things that we should be doing differently, then we're all ears. Anything else to discuss there before we turn it over to John? John, it's all yours. Roads.
Okay. I want to go back to roads again. I just dropped by and looked again on the way down here. Brent Plummer pointed out to me that we have a drag down here about Meadow Canyon and Broad Hollow. There's a piece of steel there that's 3 inches thick, about 14 inches or so wide and 8 feet long, and it has cables on it to drag roads. that would certainly straighten out some of these little washboard effects that we got here. Now, you've seen it, Brent, used. I haven't seen it used. That does it just does it just is it worse than a grader or better than a grader?
It'll smooth things out. The problem with it is we need to weld on some struts or something.
Yeah.
The cable itself, you put it around your hitch and you take off with it, and it eventually gets sideways.
Sideways, yes, I understand.
If we can engineer something to make it so it would run straight behind the vehicle.
Well, we can certainly do that. I looked at it, and basically there was one of the hooks on one side that's broken off, and there's a hook on the other side. And
that's part of the
stable.
Problem, that they just wrapped it around.
There's an angle iron there, about a 4x4 angle iron that's welded onto it, and the cable is slipped on this angle iron like that, and you're actually dragging it by that right now.
What do you have to drag it?
If that's a wire rope, why don't we just put it in a pipe?
Well,
we could.
We'll pick up, drag it.
A pickup would drag it.
A tractor would drag it.
I'm thinking the best thing to drag it would be the dump truck.
Yeah. It's heavy.
It's heavy.
Something like that probably weighs, 1,500 pounds, more maybe.
I see.
It's 3 inches thick. I know I got some of that steel on my big press up there, and it weighs 4,500 pounds.
Does it cut into the road at all?
Well, it's got sharp edges, but it's designed to slide.
If you get it set up good and you pull it, it's kind of like pulling a big pipe. They do it a lot down here at the end of the scooter pop from the gravel pit down. They pull tires, to knock off some of those washboards.
Yeah.
And, I've drugged that thing around a few times. And it's hard to drag with a pickup truck.
You've drug it with your truck a few times.
It's pretty tough. But the reason it's tough is because, especially in the conditions you have right now, it's so heavy that you end up spinning your tires.
And then digging
them
out.
And so something big like the dump truck
could drag. Well, I wondered about that because the people are, I've had several complaints. Well, some needs to be if the roads are rough. They're rub boardy, really rub boardy, and they're getting a lot of traffic, but they're getting a lot of off road vehicle traffic. Every time somebody makes a turn or goes up a slight hill, they feel like goose, and those side by sides they drive. I don't know why. They're always racing them. You don't drive your car down a road and sit there rum, rum, as you go, but those dang things, they want to hear them rev.
Sure.
And they come around a corner. When they hit the corner, they rip. And then when they come up a little hill, they rip like that. Well, those things just start digging. And once it starts digging, every time it bounces, the tire gets in air and comes down and digs another and digs another. But anyway, I had that question. And I'm about ready to get somebody to come out and screen some more gravel here, but I can't really do much until we get a little moisture. But I think we could drag.
Well, I'm hoping to get a little mud and moisture. It should be raining by now, but
I have dirt road and gravel road going into my place, and so if we get a little moisture, not too much. If you get too much, you can't do it. But as soon as you get a little rain, and I have a drag that I smooth my road out back in through, and it'll smooth the dirt road. But if you get to anything that's graveled like Meadow Canyon, you got to get some wet on it for you to make a difference on it.
Yeah.
It's just not going to do much.
This thing is so heavy and it's got sharp edges on it. I mean, they're still sharp. I don't know how much it's been dragged, but I mean they haven't been dull.
Well, any rain day that you get, I would think you'd put that on your calendar and have that fixed up. And then
if you get
a rain day, you just go hook onto it, and that's the day that you...
Yeah, I'm waiting for it.
I think we've got to do some welding on it.
I can't do Meadow Canyon with the grader right now because it needs new blades.
I could do anything else.
It's just so dusty, too, if you do anything.
Please, well, if we get some rain.
Everybody pray for rain. We haven't had any monsoons to speak of.
All right. Anything else, John?
That's it.
Mariah, we're going back to you on update on anything you need for annual meeting, and we're going to hit everybody for their final words and call this a day.
I have one announcement, but you go ahead.
I don't really have anything for the annual meeting planning unless there was something that we needed to discuss first. I'm good to go with what I need. I'll be putting together my election crew. We've got the posters are going out. We've got posters for here.
Want to spend some time with Candy when we can. And
I just have one question, and that is Kurt's plan to be able to be part of the meeting, or are you going to be busy cooking?
Because
we're going to need your attention in the meeting for a while.
I'll make sure that I'm part of the meeting. That's what I was asking. Do we do an actual meeting, or is it election? I missed it last year.
It's similar to this as far as the meeting. There's going to be a section where they're going to want to hear from you on the annual update and how you've been doing as property manager and any concerns you have, and then time for members to ask questions, and I need you to be...
Okay, I'll be 100%.
Well, I mean, we can make that early or late, depending on your schedule, but I didn't want you running off, and I mean, I love your food, but I'd rather you keep the membership informed.
I think I can manage both.
Okay.
I'll figure it out.
Go ahead.
The Western Legends wagon train will be here at the Palms on Sunday evening. Sunday afternoon, they'll start coming up, and they'll be setting up there, and then the wagons will be staging on top of the pinks up there, just beyond the restroom. I don't know
tomorrow?
If you got Sunday.
What's
yeah. Sunday?
This Sunday
tomorrow.
Or Sunday?
Wow.
Tomorrow.
You're talking tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow. Well, I'm...
Yeah, he
drives. I live out
that.
Here wow. 6 months out of the year. I don't even know what day it is until somebody reminds me I got a meeting. But
is it tomorrow or a week from tomorrow?
No,
it's tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Wow.
So it's early this year. I don't know why the city of Kanab did this and lined it up with the Washington
Fair.
In Washington. I don't know why they did it, but they did it. They're going to be here, and they'll be setting up staging with the wagons up on top. The outriders will be down here, and they'll ride up there Monday morning, and then they'll be taking the wagon trains around the loop and come back down, and they'll come back down to the pond, spend the night. So they'll be here two nights, spend the night, and then they'll have breakfast, and then they'll ride down here Monday at noon and have lunch. The reason I'm saying all of this is they charge people for this a good amount of money. But we as members on the ranch, because we allow them to come through our ranch, camp at our ponds for two nights, any of you folks, especially if you got some little grandkids or some children that want to ride on a wagon, it's free. And it's pretty neat to see all those wagons coming down. This year, I noticed they got a stagecoach. I assume it's coming. My wife will be riding with them as an outrider. She has for the last 3 years now. And that takes about between 6 and 7.5 hours for that. That one going up on the top might be too much for children to go that long. But it would be a pretty neat thing to ride from the ponds down here to be here at noon, and they'll have lunch. And they will buy stuff from our store here and what have you. And then they will move on. So,
is there anything else of... that's available? Do they have entertainment or...
Oh, yeah. They generally have catered food coming in, and you can pay for that. I don't know what it is. It isn't that much. They've never charged me anything, and I've had friends that's been there that come, even though they say
members are welcome to come to that.
And there's going to be music.
Okay, and that's Sunday night?
No, Monday night.
Monday.
Monday night. So they'll be coming down Monday. It'll be here Tuesday, I guess. I screwed up. they'll come down here on Monday night. There'll be the music and
the
food at the pond, and they have cowboy poetry. And there's some pretty talented people amongst them.
Could we email the membership and let them know that that's
going to happen? She's already done that.
Because I haven't seen that. But
she's already done that.
I can resend it to you.
I suck at
and
emails,
Kurt,
I guess.
They used to come in and buy things in the store.
Yeah, they'll...
I don't know that you had advance notice.
Are they going to stay Monday night?
I found out last night.
Yeah, I know. It was kind of... Anyway, that's
Monday
what they've
night?
Done in the or past.
They're staying Sunday night
there,
and Monday night.
Then Tuesday
morning they'll come down here. I screwed that up, remember. Tuesday morning they'll be coming from the pond.
What's that?
I need you in the store.
Okay.
All right, let's
I'm ready.
I appreciate that, John. Let's run through. Kurt, anything else to add?
No.
Awesome. You're going to get on valuing your Jeep and talking to us about that. You're going to work with finishing up around putting together the piping system,
yep.
Watering cows and everything. Okay. And getting ready for the annual meeting, and you'll let me know if you need something or if I can do something to help.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? There's one more thing.
Yeah.
Sorry, I know you want to get out of here.
Nope. Go ahead.
So we're going to be doing the fuel tank we purchased. We're going to be putting it over here. Brent and I talked about moving the diesel tank also over here, so it's all in one place. And just a bug in your ear, just to think about it. I don't want to have a big discussion, but I had a thought that, A, we sit probably too long on our fuel, and this is something I'm learning from Joe and Brad. We sit too long on fuel, and it goes bad. And I think that if we're going to buy quantities of fuel, we should offer it for sale at a more reasonable price. And it will help us use up our fuel, so it keeps it fresh, and then can bring in a little extra revenue too.
No problem with that. Any objections?
Well, it's a little bit of a double-edged sword, because if you wait to buy your fuel as cheap as it is, as cheap as you can get it, then you use it up to where we have to buy more. You don't know what the price is that you're going to buy the second. So,
if we're making $1 a gallon, who cares?
Yeah, overall a good plan.
Yeah.
It's
just a management thing.
So put together an email and let us know what you think we should charge for fuel to be able to. I think it's better to run it through. I know Lake Powell, you can plan on paying a buck over the going rate. So.
Well, that's what I was thinking, about a buck over what we pay for it.
No, if you get it on the water, but any of the gas stations around, they're not that much more.
You're going to be $3.
Plus, it's all premium, so you're going to pay more anyway. So, all right, Kathy, anything else?
Nope.
Okay.
We ought to maybe consider when we buy new vehicles to get a diesel motor, and then we run it off of the diesel fuel, because diesel fuel lasts.
Yeah, that's a great thought.
Lasts and lasts and lasts, and then we can buy quantities of diesel that doesn't go bad. Plus, it's almost always cheap. Well, it is cheaper because we're running mostly ranch roads. So we could run off red diesel.
Diesel fuel will go bad, though. It's a lot slower, but it does go bad.
Yeah, I found it because Kathy had asked, because you had that barrel there, and
I don't think we've ever had a problem running out of diesel. I mean, as far as keeping a whole lot. I mean,
no, you can keep it three times longer, maybe four, but it can go bad.
But
yeah,
we only have 1,000-gallon capacity, right?
Joe, anything else to add?
No, the only thing I didn't get an answer, are we going to help Kurt pay for some of his maintenance on his Jeep?
I say yes.
Yes.
Okay. So get me the receipts for your thermostat and your heater hose. And
your boss is talking. Hold on.
Is there a plan this fall that we're going to fill up again the propane tank?
Yes.
There is. Okay. So that's going to be a considerable amount of money that's coming out of the budget as well. But I was just curious if we were going to do that.
Yeah, and actually I think we want to send out an email when that's happening, so when they come up, anybody that needs their tanks topped off for the winter or anything can get that done too.
So there's only one caveat I'll throw out on that. I've tried and tried and tried to get Garkane to tell me when they're coming out, and they will never tell me when they're coming out. They won't call me back. They won't give me that information. So I would love to do that, and I've called them with the purpose of finding that out to do that. But They're not interested in giving appointments. They come when they can.
Well, but nobody really needs to. What we need to do is send something out to members saying, in the next month, we're going to fill propane. Anybody that wants to hop on this order, let us know. And then we can send Garkeen and say, fill the cabins in the ranch house. And by the way, you know, Phil Hall and Dale Clarkson stop by their places and top them off as well.
Well, that's a great suggestion, but even I don't have any control over that. Garkeen says when they're coming. They set their own schedule, and they show up when they're here.
Oh, so we don't even call them and say when we're low.
They that's part of their contract. They maintain it. They promise to have us with enough propane, but I don't even get to say that.
Yeah, they come in the fall and the spring.
All right, well,
sorry.
It is what it is.
All right, well,
that's written into their contract?
I don't know that it's written in their contract,
yeah,
but like I said,
so.
I've called them at least 10 times asking for that information. They say, we come when we come. I don't know. I can't give you a time. And I say, can I talk to your driver? No, he sets his own schedule. It's totally based on I can't get in.
Cindy, did you buy your propane tank or lease it?
Leasing it. We bought ours.
Shinoff. Okay. What's the Shinoff guy who's over it? Skip the other guys, and let's just talk to Shinoff, the guy who's over the propane for Garkeen, because that doesn't sound like anything like he's treated me or and as we were hooking up and putting other tanks in and stuff. So
I was surprised, too, but you're welcome to call him.
Clint. His name's Clint Shinoff. Are you over the propane?
I am.
His name's Clint Shinoff, and he's the head of Garkeen.
Okay.
The guy that came out and toured the ranch and we put the tanks in, and he's been bent over.
I will follow up and see if I can get his attention.
Hopefully he won't tell you to Shinoff.
I have three of them, and I lease them all.
You lease them all?
$1 a year. That's all I pay is $3 a year for three tanks.
But on that, though, even though we can't give them a date, when they come out, they are filling other people. They're not just... I mean, they're taking care of other members. We don't need... What I'm saying is we don't need
to let them know they're coming.
We don't need to have control over that.
Okay.
They're taking care of it. But what we can't know, like scheduling last year with Phil and Rachel, I can't call them and say, what day are you coming out? They won't give us that information.
Well,
but they're taking care of everybody.
Well, I'll check into it a little bit. John, anything?
Hey, would you ask me if propane prices... fluctuate through the year? Is there any kind of a trend like there is in fuel prices?
I can ask.
Mine has never been very high.
The answer is yes. Propane fuel prices are going to fluctuate just like every other fuel.
Sure.
It's just a question of whether they've marked, whether they mark the trends. And I mean, obviously, I assume in the fall is probably their heaviest time.
Yeah. Okay, we can find that out.
Go ahead, John. Sorry.
Barry asked me if there's one more thing, and I will just throw in one more thing. I emphasize on the kids on Tuesday coming down, but the best ride for you adults is to go up on Monday morning and ride around the loop. It's beautiful. Just remember that.
Okay, Brad, you're the last the best of all the game. Even though you disagree with me every time something comes up.
I hardly ever disagree with you.
He's just disagreeable.
You
just disagreed again.
There's something about you that just ticks him off, you know.
I have that effect on lots of people,
okay,
including my wife.
Often.
No, go ahead.
So we can spend a little bit of money out of budget, out of the agriculture area, is that... Or no.
Well, that's where this
yes.
whole project has to come out of.
Yeah, take that all out of it.
Yeah.
I think you got to look and see so that we're not at November saying, okay, now we can't get stuff done that we need to get done.
So we're cutting the budget or we're waiting until November? We're just like, what's our window? Is it 15?
Probably going to be the
two
best.
$2,000. What's our window that we...
As far as what you can authorize on your own?
Yeah.
50% of what you have allocated in your budget.
It's been frozen, so it's been zero. So we don't want to spend 50% of the budget, right?
No, we're unfreezing as far as that goes. I'd just still be conscientious as to where we're at. But bottom line is you've set your budget. You have it to spend. If you have projects that were budgeted for, now's the time to start working on getting them done.
Okay.
John... As soon as the weather breaks and stuff, then I would expect you're going to get some road work done to keep people happy. They don't understand that
I don't expect them to understand it.
If we do fencing, will that
I didn't understand it either until...
Hey, John, how big of a deal would it be for us to use that water truck and water some roads?
Well, I don't know how much it would take. Basically, the road project, they use water trucks, but I think that's mainly to control dust.
Right.
I think it would take an awful lot of water to get this ground soft enough to make a difference.
Okay, just a thought.
I don't know that we have enough capability to practically make a dent in the water situation.
Way expensive. More expensive than grade.
Anything else from any of the membership before we put a pin in this? Kent?
You're thinking about a Range Rover for...
But we need to weld that thing.
They've spent that $160,000, so you're not...
Yep. Sorry. Candy, you've got something?
Yeah, I was going to say, could you just do a real quick run-through for the annual meeting? What time does everybody need to be here? Incorporating when the new people are supposed to be presented, what time, have everybody... Just kind of, like, review it.
Mariah, do you want to read through the agenda real quick?
Yeah, I can do that too. But on your poster, I've outlined all of this. This is in your packet that I handed Joe. But this will be posted out here. I gave one to Kurt so he could post it too. And then I will be sending out a full agenda. But yes, I can answer that. I have that.
Well, the reason why I ask is a lot of times when candidates are supposed to be here on time at a specific time are not here.
Right.
And when you want to start the meeting starts at a specific time. Hopefully everybody understands you're here. And that way it can get rolling. And I know we were going to talk about food or whatever, but the key here is entertainment. Do we have one person coming? I don't think we need two, but that's something that we kind of put together.
Well, we've got John Stone lined up.
I have not asked anybody
for the afternoon.
Yet.
Okay, and that was my question, because I had emailed you, but I hadn't gotten any word back. So that's good, but kind of like how it's going to go. And again, if you have ideas about what you want to volunteer for the auction, send some of the information to Mariah so she can get an idea. We don't know how long that's going to be. We want to kind of get moving on that auction. I love you, John, but we got to kind of move on that auction a little bit.
I'll give it to you.
No.
and
the fact that if we put up this canopy, are we going to do it over here in this section? If we do, remember the column said it may take 5 people an hour or so. So do we have those volunteers we need to get moving, get it set up, and what are the expectations? That's where I'm coming from.
And I think it's good to clarify real quick. I think we need to set the canopy up in this area so we don't trample the grass and keep that open for lunch. I think the new candidates are supposed to be here at 10:30 to mingle, answer questions. It's not going to be anything formal, but they need to be here to answer or discuss with any of the members that want to be here. Some will come, some won't. The meeting starts at 11, and then we move through the normal program of what we generally do as far as a board meeting. Other than after the introduction, we will gather the final ballots, and Mariah and her crew will go and start counting. So anything else that you've got on there as far as...
I did add something new this year, Candy. I added on here the auction items registration starting at 10:30. So I hope that would help bring more people down for the meet the candidates, and then also they can turn in their items to whomever will be running the auction. Yeah, 11, official meeting begins. 11:30 is the final call for ballots. 12 o'clock, we'll be having lunch, entertainment, the auction, kids' activities, demonstrations. Kurt can speak more about those great ideas. Then at 2 o'clock, I'll give the election results. The executive session will go to executive session, or the board will go to executive session, rather, for just a few minutes. Then we'll have an informal member board open forum and adjourned by 3. And that's all listed on here. Now, I will be sending out, and this will go to the entire membership, too, the actual agenda. And we're close to having this ready to send now. It's the same thing, only just a few more details. Who's going to speak when and so on and so forth. That the membership will get. But I will not be sending that out until probably the first part of September.
Yeah, no reason to send it until fairly close before the meeting. Otherwise, it will be lost, and we'll be handing them out again at the meeting. Thank you, though.
Okay.
Okay, I just wanted clarification.
I think that's good to have everybody know and on the same page. So.
And what we're adding, just to take away from all of the stress of the day, is John's agreed to do a knife demo, and then I have a couple of friends that are, one or both will be coming to do a blacksmithing demonstration also. Those are the two things that Mariah was
After the auction, I plan on doing a grinding profiling knife thing, which I'll have to set up.
Sounds like fun. Next meeting is the annual meeting. Unless there's any objection, then this meeting is adjourned.
Woo-hoo!
All right.